Currently, we assume that there's no deferral or postponement of financial liabilities, be that interest cost or any capital repayments, with the exception of one relatively small and already agreed loan deferral. As you all will be aware, well aware, governments around the world have announced a wide range of facilities and measures to provide support to companies and employees. Previously, we indicated that we expected to qualify for a number of these facilities and measures, but until such time as support is secured and agreed, we will not account for any potential benefit. Since then, we have successfully accessed a number of facilities, including numerous government payroll support schemes in a number of countries, including Italy, Malta, Spain, and Turkey, as well as government tax payments deferrals or suspensions, including payroll taxes, social security, premiums, and VAT. In addition to these further significant cost savings, our commercial ports continue to perform in line with our expectations, generating EBITDA and cash. While much of our cruise business is currently at standstill, we are still generating revenues from other activities. For example, a number of our cruise ports currently have cruise ships laid up at their berths until cruise activity resumes, while others have been involved in the safe offloading and repatriation of passenger and crew. Other ship-focused activities will include the handling of military vessels and mega yachts during these times. A number of the ports have commercial activities that are normally open to the public as well as cruise passengers, such as retail areas and restaurants. While in most cases these are operated by concessionaires, with lockdown restrictions easing, many of these areas have now been opened. As a result of this revenue generation and our action to reduce cost and conserve cash, we do believe that GPH can withstand zero cruise revenue traffic until mid-2022 without raising further capital. And as you know, we have a Eurobond due, which Jan probably is going to speak at the end. On a port-by-port basis, individual ports represent circa 95% of cruise EBITDA, and they can survive again till mid-22 without traffic or support from the group. As you see on the table below, Barcelona 36 months, Ege, Kuşadası in Turkey 29 months, Valletta 20 months, and other cruise ports, which are relatively small cruise ports, around 16. So the average, it's not a weighted average probably, but the average is around 20 months. I believe that this outlook is a testament to the strength, but most importantly, flexibility of our business model. While the crisis means cash preservation is currently the key focus, it is clear that as the cruise industry starts to exit this crisis, GPH will be extremely well positioned to deliver strong returns from its current portfolio. Furthermore, as the crisis eases, I expect significant new port opportunities will present themselves. With a proven ability to bring global best practice and leading health and safety protocols to ports, as well as the ability to raise financing for new projects, even in the most challenging of times, Global Ports Holding is well positioned to play an active role as these opportunities arise. And recently, we have been approached by major, major cruise ports around the world because cruise lines walked out of them. Now, I would like to hand over to Emre, our Chief Executive Officer, to run through some of the key trading highlights of Q1, as well as recent developments in Nassau.
Thank you very much, Mehmet Bey. Martin, if we can move to the next slide. Well, good morning, everyone. First of all, I would like to announce that our CFO Ferda is in a very important meeting, so she couldn't join us. But our finance director Çınar is here. Martin and I, and Jan, in terms of corporate finance, will be able to hopefully answer your questions. And she's always available for questions later on. Coming back to Q1 2020, I see Q1 as a glimpse into the future of GPH. This quarter was supposed to be the first of four quarters in 2020, that would have been an inflection point for our company, because this is now the point where we start collecting the results of our strategy that we set out during the IPO in 2017. And on the cruise side, you see that the numbers are quite positive, with cruise passenger volumes up 146%, record cruise revenue up 102%. And this is thanks to the contributions coming from the Caribbean ports. I have to say that COVID-19 has derailed this year, and it has postponed 2020 from happening, but it's just a postponement, and we will certainly see the impact of our delivery on our strategy in the coming years. And the cruise business is poised for further growth, as our chairman just explained. So looking at the cruise side, we see positive numbers. Looking at the commercial side, under the influence of both COVID-19 and continuing trade wars, obviously, these are difficult times for the commercial business, but we see the resilience of that business. In fact, some categories have started coming back, and we see growth on the general and bulk cargo volumes of 46% in Akdeniz. And looking at the container volumes, we see a decline of 18%. However, I must say that Q1 last year is a tough comparison, because Q1 was the last quarter where we were in line with the previous year in terms of container volumes. And if you remember last year's quarter presentations, after Q1, we always talked about, 20%, in the vicinity of 20% decline year on year due to trade wars. So I think our comparisons will get progressively easier in Q1, Q2, and Q3 of this year. So in that sense, I'm happy with the performance of the commercial business. There are some new businesses, as I said, coming up. I mentioned the RoRo business in Adria, which has become operational now. That's creating revenues. And like I said, the general bulk cargo business is showing good signs. And lastly, I want to talk about Nassau. In this time, as Mehmet Bey mentioned, we tried to cut costs down to a minimum, tried to reduce our cash outflows, but at the same time, we kept investing in critical projects, and Nassau is definitely one of them. So very recently, we have issued a $150 million bond, 2040 bond at 8%, under very good terms, I believe, given the conditions of the time. And I will actually leave the details of this to Jan to go over this one, and to also give us some information about what's going on with the Eurobond refinancing, because as we are talking about 2020 and 2021 being now clear for us in terms of ongoing operations, that's the only thing that I believe needs to be addressed in terms of our financial situation. So Jan, off to you. If you can give us a little bit more information on the financing of Nassau, and talk a little bit about the Eurobond. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thanks, Emre, and good morning, everybody. Thanks for your time joining this call. No, echoing what Emre just said, I think, strictly speaking, not part of Q1, but a recent development as of May 2020. As announced, we have successfully completed not just the target volume of financing in Nassau, but exceeded our targets, which is not just financially an important step. We'll come back to the financial implications. But again, as Emre already said, it's a big sign and a big, signal to the industry as a whole and to the Caribbean specifically, that this project continues, that these, light tower project will be completed on schedule, and will show us a big trust GPH and the whole industry has in the recovery in these challenging times. So I think it extends beyond Nassau having successfully completed this financing and continue with the CapEx program as planned. So back to the financing, I think within these times it is a tremendous success having raised this funding and achieved oversubscription. Over 200 investors have trusted us with financing most bulk of the CapEx, which will need to be spent. Only smaller amounts of financing will need to be raised towards the second half, mid-2021, to complete the project. It is a long-term capital, final maturity 2040, with no repayments, ongoing repayments for the first 10 years, and then equal installments starting 2031 down to 2040. With 8% yield, I think we have targeted, we had more aggressive yield targets when we started the process, but still 8% is a great achievement. If you compare it to other cruise-related financings recently raised and looking at a 20-year maturity. Nevertheless, the bond is, as following our strategy, the bond is non-recourse to GPH and so recourse to the cash flows and asset of Nassau Cruise Port only. And that, I think, as Emre said, I know that question will come up. So I think it also reflects on our ability to refinance the Eurobond. And of course, the last 3 months have been one of the most volatile in the history of financial markets, with rates and all sorts of capital markets experiencing great volatility, as also shown in trading performance of our securities. Markets have certainly significantly improved, and we continue to monitor the development, and we have high trust in our ability to refinance the Eurobond when markets are available. But we also, and that bond is a big testament towards it, as we always said, we have alternative financing resources, financing means to refinance and address the refinancing in due course. And I believe this current weakness of the market, which unfortunately also has led to the incurrence covenant currently being above 5x in our financials, as you have seen, but nevertheless, a big confidence in both the recovery of the industry and our ability to refinance with alternative or Eurobond markets going forward and well ahead of the maturity in November 21. Handing back to Martin or Emre for concluding remarks, and then opening it up for question.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Jan. I think we wanted to keep this part of the presentation short so that we can answer your questions. I think, Martin, if you want to now go on to the Q&A, thank you very much for listening, and we'll be answering your questions.
Thank you, Emre. I'll just give everybody a couple of seconds to register hands up using the Zoom app, the Zoom functionality, and then we'll go straight on to questions. Okay, the first question comes from Owen Reid at Berenberg. Owen, please unmute your line and go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Martin, and morning, everyone. Thanks for the color you provided this morning, I guess. Just three questions for me, if that's all right. Firstly, just on your liquidity analysis, it'd be good to hear how you think about the Eurobond fitting into that in terms of, clearly, you think you have liquidity up to 2022, but the Eurobond falls due in 2021. So is there any assumption around that refinancing happening or any other way that sort of capital call gets dealt with? Secondly, on the impact of, say, behaviours in cruise itineraries, when if cruise lines continue to go to their own private islands in the Caribbean, how do you see that impacting Nassau? Or is there any early indication that that is or isn't the case? And then lastly, on the Nassau bond, clearly 8% is very good in the current environment, but probably not what you're targeting. Is there an opportunity in a few years' time, if the market stabilizes and the development is complete, for you to, I guess, refinance that bond and get a lower interest rate on it? So any color on that would be great, very helpful. Thanks.
Okay, Martin, if you don't mind, I'll answer the cruise itineraries and I'll leave it to Jan for the Eurobond, and I can say a few words about the Nassau bond as well. On the cruise itineraries, that's a very good question, as a matter of fact. The good thing is Nassau, as you know, has 280,000 people population versus 400,000 for the whole Bahamas. And the Minister of Tourism very recently, I think in a week or two ago, publicly announced that there's no way in the world he'll accept something for the cruise lines to go only to their private islands. It doesn't make sense to start with, you know, on a three-day cruise, just one destination, but that certainly will be stopped by the government. So we are very comfortable that even if they do a 3-4 day cruise, which will be the start, rather than 7-day cruises, Nassau will be one of the stops. Jan, do you want to answer the Eurobond part and
yes,
the Nassau bond?
Yes, maybe starting with the Nassau bond. I mean, maybe one thing to take a perspective here is also 8% is to be put into perspective with the government and the country risk of the Bahamas, given it's a non-recourse financing. 8% effectively is inside the government yield. Historically, government yields have been, you know, trading around 7-ish. So it's you know, taking into account, of course, the country risk. I think that's important for the 8%. But nevertheless, yes, we have targeted more aggressive rates, and we believe eventually, given its international cruise passengers, Nassau Cruise Port should price tighter than the Bahamas bonds. And we have the option to refinance that bond at no prepayment penalty after 2 years. So with the end, broadly in line with the end of the construction. So the make whole of 2 years. The first question, the Eurobond and the liquidity profile, I think just to clarify, the 2020 or well into 2020 analysis is based on, of course, of the opcos, the respective opcos. So there's no, as Mehmet has explained, no need. Opcos have all sufficient resources themselves to even in the scenario where there's no cruise revenue to cover fixed costs, maintenance, capex as applicable, and also any upcoming maturities as scheduled. And also that would include the cost incurred in the holdco on allocated expenses. So as such, the business as such is stable and doesn't need any further business. We obviously need to, that assumes that prior to the maturity, a refinancing of the Eurobond has happened. So I think that's obvious, but important clarification.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, the next question comes from Greg Johnson, Shore Capital. Please unmute your line, Greg, and go ahead.
Good morning. Just follow up on on the liquidity point. In terms of sort of outstanding maturities, bar the Euro bond, what have you got coming up in the next 2 months? Secondly, seems on my numbers, you generated about 5 million of EBITDA out of the Caribbean in Q1. Just wondered regards sort of the seasonality profile of the Caribbean on sort of a what that run rate would have been, obviously pre-COVID. Is Q1 a standard sort of quarterly run rate for the region? Thirdly, on Nassau and the bond, is there any sort of a restrictions in terms of being able to upstream cash to the holdco going forward in terms of covenants? And just finally, if you can comment on the update of the sort of sales process, and especially with regards the announcement of a continued investigation at a Port Acton. Thank you.
Okay, let me try to answer as much as I can, one by one. Jan, why don't you do the upstreaming part? I don't know the details for Nassau, but related to the revenue stream of Nassau and whether it's a good year or bad year, normal year, I think it's lower than expectations. Basically, they had 815,000 passengers this year, if I'm not wrong. And for the last quarter, we're expecting around 600,000 passengers for this year. Nassau does around 4.4 plus million passengers. And the seasonality is basically from October, November, post the hurricane season, all the way through, the peak is all the way through probably end of February, March. And then it slows down, but there is a ship every day practically in Nassau, more than one ship every day. It's a must-call destination. Jan, you want to upstream part?
The bond, the Nassau bond, includes a debt service cover covenant test, which is 1.3. And that is the test for upstreaming dividends.
Okay, what was the other questions? I'm sorry, Greg, I didn't take note.
Sales process and investigation.
Okay, on the investigation part, they have basically launched an investigation, and the worst case scenario, absolute worst case scenario, is we have to pay a fine of 1.5% of last year revenue. That's the absolute worst case scenario, total revenue. But again, that's a process which probably will take years, minimum 12 months. If we go to court, the investigation, proper investigation has to be negative for us. Assuming it's negative, we will go to court, of course. And that's another year to two. So it's a thing which will probably last 2 to 5 years on the investigation, with the final end being 1.5% of revenue.
Mehmet Bey, this up to now, it was a preliminary investigation.
Correct.
Now the investigation starts, but out of the three major categories that we operate in Port Akdeniz, only one has been selected. So the bulk cargo and the general cargo have been dropped, and the investigation is now focused on the container business only. And as Mehmet Bey said, now the investigation will take place, and then depending on the results, we may or may not go to the court, etc. So that's I just wanted to clarify that.
What other questions, Greg, you have?
Thanks for that. Yeah, just finally, in terms of liquidity, I just wondered what the maturity payments you have coming up over the next year or 2 years, excluding the euro bond.
Well, I can ask Martin to send you those, but one thing I know, for Barcelona, for example, annual payments is around 4.5 euro, if I'm not wrong. They have enough resources to pay their debt. The numbers that we gave you, survivability of, for example, Barcelona for 36 months, includes the payments to the bank as well. So all those debts, basically all the survivability, excluding the Eurobond, is as reflected, which includes principal and interest payments.
Yeah, for the Eurobond, we have November next, and next May, so we have two more coupons coming up, and similar timings for Barcelona as well, at equal payments of 2.5 million for Barcelona, and the payments for the bond are around 10. Martin can send you the details, Greg.
Okay.
What else? Thank you very much. Question. Thank you very much. Was that all the questions, Greg?
The sales question, I think that's the only one left.
Of Antalya, I presume, that's the question.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we finally received from Middle Eastern buyer a firm offer. It's a difficult one. Unfortunately, they used to use an advisor, which they don't use anymore. They're very hot on acquiring the port, but the process is a long and difficult one. There's no guarantee, we cannot guarantee that it will happen. While at the same time, we have to ensure that the sale of Antalya somehow is tied and solves the Eurobond as well. So we cannot sell Antalya, which is the only cash generation, while we have still outstanding Eurobond on the books. So the two has to be combined somehow, which we are working on it. The bottom line is, it's a difficult sale and purchase agreement comment that we received from the counterparty. It's firm, and it's going to take a while. The exclusivity period was running through June the 12th, if I'm not wrong. They asked for an extension to end July, and we said no, end of June is the deadline. That's where we are.
Okay, thank you very much.
Martin?
Thanks, Greg. Yes, we've still got a few more questions. Next question comes from Lafferon from JP Morgan. Please unmute your line and go ahead.
Hi, this is Zafar from JP Morgan. Thanks a lot. Just on the in the last answer, Mehmet, with respect to the end of June deadline. So, just to be clear, end of June is the deadline for conclusion of if you know the agreement with the buyer, because you also mentioned it's a long and difficult process. So I'm just trying to figure out, is the long and difficult process now over, and by the end of June we'll have a firm transaction in place, or beyond that there'll be still be more steps to be taken?
Good question. First of all, the ask is end of July, the counter offer is end of June. And that is the deadline to sign the sale and purchase agreement. Post-signing that, of course, there will be regulatory approvals, which probably will take another 2-3 months.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah.
And then just on the business itself, I was wondering if you can perhaps comment on, with respect to Antalya port specifically, the commercial throughput. We've seen the numbers for the first quarter, both for bulk as well as the container. Are these numbers the sort of numbers that you're seeing in the second quarter as well? Are these numbers that how should we think about the rest of the year when compared to the first quarter?
Well, we don't give, like all cruise lines, we don't give what you call forecast, but I'm comfortable to say that we will have probably an EBITDA equal to last year.
Okay, got it.
Plus or minus 10%, let's say.
Great. And just one question I had with respect to, you mentioned the cash balance is now around $43 million. Mm-hmm. How much of this cash is in the global Lehman subsidiary, which is, I guess, restricted by covenants with respect to cash distributions?
Well, everything is restricted under covenants because of the insurance thing. So if the question leads to dividend, there won't be any dividend this year. It's quite obvious. But I don't know the breakdown of it. So Martin, if we can send the breakdown post this call.
Got it. I was actually more interested in figuring out if there's any cash that's trapped in the global Lehman subsidiary and therefore it cannot be used by other operating businesses of the group, because that cash is...
Good question. Good question. The cash trapped will not be in any of the subsidiaries. As a matter of fact, yesterday we agreed on a dividend distribution from Barcelona. Any cash trapped in subsidiaries otherwise is upstream to Global Liman, and Global Liman uses that money not only to pay its cost, headquarter cost or whatever, but also the interest accumulated. So for example, Antalya generates, let's say, 35 of cash annually or 30 of cash. That's upstream immediately to Global Demand for Global Demand's headquarter cost as well as the interest payments.
Got it. Thank you very much. That was very helpful.
You're welcome.
So also, just I'll just add, important to note that of the operating ports, only Nassau, Antigua, and Tunisia don't sit under Global Lehman. And obviously, Antigua and Nassau have just received a significant amount of financing, particularly in the case of Nassau. So there is no need for them to receive support from the group. And Tunisia is a very small port with very small operating costs at the moment. So all other ports sit under Global Lehman. So any cash that sits at Global Lehman can be distributed or to those ports.
Just to add on that, this is a very important point, Martin. Thank you. As you know, Nassau will have a 49% public shareholding by probably second or third quarter of next year. And for sure, assuming the covenants 1.3 is fulfilled, there will be dividend distribution immediately from Nassau because there's a public shareholding of 49%. And that's the expectation of the people, according to our partner.
Actually, sorry, just one follow-up question, and maybe this one is for Jan. In terms of refinancing, outside of the Eurobond market itself, what other possible sources of refinancing can you have for the Eurobond? Is there appetite amongst Turkish banks, for example, to lend money at that level?
Let me answer the Turkish bank, and then you take the rest. There is an appetite, but the ticket size is too big, probably in Turkey, because they don't want assets which sits outside Turkey. It's very difficult for them. So the biggest thing will be Antalya, and we can leverage Antalya and upstream the cash. We are already under discussion, but that amount will be circa max 100, maybe 125. Jan, do you want to take the rest?
Happy to do so. No, the... just extending from what you just said, bank market would typically be, in the size class we are in, the local market. So it would be OPCO level, and clearly with the Turkish banks being most prominent because most of the EBITDA is generated in Turkey. But the same applies at different rates, though. But conceptually, the same applies for all the OPCOs. Excellent relationship with BBVA. As you know, initial loan was 64 million, down now to something in the 20s. So we have leverage capacity, broadly speaking, in I'd say all the major assets. One big alternative route for refinancing. When I say Eurobond market, I mean referring to the traditional 144A regis market. The Nassau bond clearly demonstrates that there is, certainly pools of liquidity which are, showing interest in infrastructure assets with a cash portfolio profile, long-term profile as the cruise portfolio or cruise assets individually would demonstrate. Most prominent other alternatives, private placement market, US private placement market, but also Europe is catching up. And you see, we talked about this in recent calls and Safra, I'm sure you've seen this, emergence over the last, I'd say five, 6 years and strongly growing and almost a new asset class of, direct infrastructure debt by large asset managers starting in the US and Canada, but now available also in globally and in European and European markets as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Constantine. Good morning, Constantine. Please unmute your line and go ahead.
Thanks, Martin. Thanks very much for the presentation. I have a few questions, if I may. The first one is sort of on the commercial side. Maybe if you could sort of walk us through how sort of marble exports from Akdeniz developed over the months of April, May, and maybe into the June. Presumably there was positive dynamic there, but any color would be helpful. That's my first question.
Okay. The best thing to do is post the numbers. Martin, you want to post the numbers? And Emre Bey, if you know the recent numbers on I know June is doing very well, but I don't know May, frankly.
Yeah. So what happened in terms of the marble business is especially in March, when COVID-19 was very detrimental in China. The trade shows that were supposed to happen in March were canceled. Travel was restricted, so the exporters couldn't come to Turkey to mark the blocks. And the industry, construction industry in China was hit. So there was a certain impact, of course. But trade always finds a way of happening. So I hear that the marble experts from China actually discovered Zoom as well to look at the blocks in the mines without traveling, and other ways were found. And China is coming back online. So you're right, the numbers are looking better in April and May. And June seems to be a good month. And like I said, on the average, we are about 20% below last year. Right. Yeah, maybe slightly higher in marble. But that was kind of to be expected, because after Q1, we saw this type of drop due to the impact of the global trade wars. So in a way, I would say we are in line with last year's numbers, and June is supposed to be the best month in marble up to now.
Just yeah. Presumably there is no impact on the contract pricing. So volumes are down 20%, but pricing is holding up well.
That is correct. But just to give you some numbers from my files, as of May 19, 2020, the budget for the month was 3,393 TEU, and they are estimating approximately 2,700 TEU. On general cargo, budget was 13,000, estimated through end of May, by the way, 195,000, so 13-fold. On bulk cargo, 257 budget and estimated 297. As of 19th of May, they had done 207 already. So that's May 16 numbers.
That's very helpful, Kalle. Thank you. And then my second question is about Nassau bond. Obviously, it's a very sort of long duration bond. At 8% rate seems low in the current market, but sort of going forward, maybe it's not as low as it seems. I guess my question is, is that bond callable, or?
Yeah, the non-call period is 2 years.
Okay, cool. Got it. So after 2 years, you could call it at any point.
That's correct. And which will, depending on market conditions, of course, but we definitely will.
Got it. And then my third question relates to the euro bond. So I guess, Agdenis sale is kind of like going ahead, but there is a lot of uncertainty about it. I guess my kind of like first sub question is, if the sale happens, what shall we expect as bondholders to get the asset sale proceeds? Because I know that asset sale covenant allows for a lot of discretion for the use of cash. So kind of like that's my first question on this.
Who is this, by the way?
It's Konstantin Chinarov from Aptior Capital. Okay. And then secondly, on the sort of refinancing market, if basically refinancing market is not there in November next year because cruise business did not come back, or just the market is shut, maybe if you could sort of walk us through sort of any alternative options you're considering. I know you mentioned sort of Turkish banks, but obviously the Eurobond is 250 million notional. The banks are 100 million, as far as I understood. So like any thoughts on this would be helpful. Thank you.
This is a very good question and a very tricky answer. So I have to be very careful on what I say. But I'm going to let Jan speak after I say a few words. Now, the Turkish bank and sale of Antalya, they can't go hand in hand. It's impossible because Turkish banks, they don't like collateral which is outside Turkey, as if in something goes wrong, they cannot get hold of. So it's either Turkish banks with Antalya or Antalya sold and no Turkish banks. So that's number one. Number two, as I mentioned before, Antalya is the only cash generating entity in the portfolio as we speak, circa 30, 35 million per year. So if and when we sell Antalya, we have to ensure that the balance, whatever money is missing between the two, unfortunately, I cannot disclose the price, has to be secured. I'm not going to proceed with Antalya sale without securing the balance of the bond. That's very, very important. Jan, you want to add a few words?
Yeah, not sure if there's much to add. Maybe just a few nuances. I mean, as Mehmet has just said, the Turkish banks refinancing would be based on the Turkish portfolio, but as you know, we're operating in 13 countries, so that's additional capacity for refinancing. Should we opt for that, as an OpCo-based refinancing route, would be available, and as I said, we also are looking at alternative structured refinancing solutions. So it's I think it's too early to comment, but of course, and everything has to tie together and has to work hand in hand, asset sale and refinancing options. But confident that we can find a solution within the next, what do we have, less than 1.5 years?
Within the next 6 months, I would say.
Understood. And is sort of equity rights issue an option if the capital market is there?
Not at prevailing share price. How much you can raise? Maximum 60 million. So not at prevailing share price. Although I think the share price has performed very well in the last few days, but not at prevailing share price.
Got it. And my final question, and apologies for so many questions. I didn't catch on the cash balance. So if we look at the overall cash balance, how much of that sits in the sort of Glyho perimeter, and how much of that sits at Holdco, and then at operating companies outside of the bond perimeter?
I don't have the exact numbers in my hand. Martin should send you the exact details.
Okay.
But all the cash of Antalya, which is the only cash generation, goes from Antalya to Global Demand to pay the headquarter cost as well as the interest due on the Eurobond.
Yeah. So
there's no problem on that. The problem is the 250, frankly.
Time got it.
Until we find a solution.
Mehmet Bey, I think it's safe to say that the cash in hand, most of it sits at the headquarters under Global Liman. Mm-hmm. And other than that, the only company that has some cash in hand that's worth mentioning is Cruers.
Barcelona. Yeah.
Barcelona. And that's, I think, in the vicinity of 7 million euros. Two and a half is in reserved account, and the rest is... basically to pay the loan debt and to make sure that the port can survive another 30, 36 months if necessary.
Got it. Thanks so much for the call. That's great. Good luck, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Mehmet and Emre, there is no more questions, so I will pass back to you to conclude the call.
Okay. Thank you, Martin. Let me express two fears that I have vis-a-vis the world, which can have an implication on GPH as well. One is, of course, the normalization, quote-unquote, as defined by our leadership worldwide, I think people are moving to the new normal very fast. So a second wave is one of my fears. And the second fear I have, again, vis-a-vis GPH, I've read some reports, very respectable reports, that this virus somehow, or of course it's originated in China, but they knew it from the beginning of 19, rather than end of 19, through some traffic and cars and people visiting the hospitals and the reason they're visiting. So any fight, financially especially, between US and China, if this goes to the next layer, again, will create problem probably for World Trade, therefore Antalya as well as the cruise side will not affect. The third and final thing, the cruise lines, unfortunately, and I said this to every CEO, so I'm very comfortable to mention, they did a very bad job on public relations. Finally, having spoken to all three of them in the last 1 week, or not 1 week, even 3 days, I see that finally they're getting their act together, which is a very important step. As you know, the CDC no sale order is through 1st of August, and there's a strong probability that that will be lifted when time comes because they're agreeing on protocols. The ask from CDC is a bit excessive compared to the airlines, but the cruise lines, in all honesty, they have been, unlike what's presented in the media, they have been very careful about health and safety compared to airlines or the restaurant on the street. So I do, and the other final thing is the 2021 bookings are up double digit in most cruise lines, but 50% of that booking is through the vouchers. So those combined, I think 21 will be a good year, probably close to 2019 numbers, depending on the capacity or the load factor of each ship. So it's tough, but we're okay. That's the good thing. We need to solve the Eurobond. That's the only issue I see as a major issue. Thank you, everybody.
Emet Bey, can I just add
absolutely
a couple of sentences to what you said?
Absolutely.
So in terms of normalizing, going back to the cruise ships sailing, etc., what GPH has been doing is we've been waiting to see if the cruise lines and the governments could come up with some basic protocols or some framework so that we could build upon that. But after waiting and talking to different sources, players, it has become obvious to us that instead of waiting, we're going to do it the other way around. So we are now working on our basic operational and health and safety protocols and updating them for the post-COVID world. And once the cruise lines and the governments decide on the final protocols, we will be embedding those into our protocols. Unfortunately, those two sides have not been communicating with each other. So we see, and we are part of local developments on the government side with port authorities, with cities, with mayorships. And we're also communicating with cruise lines, but they're doing their own thing with CDC, with IMO, with World Health Organization. So these need to come together at one point in time. And I think we will kind of become the intermediator and the point where all these protocols meet, because the ports will play a key role in the cruise business coming back. But like Mehmet Bey said, this is also due to the fact that the cruise lines are taking this very seriously, and they all realize that they cannot afford to make any mistakes when the passengers are coming back. So it's unlike the approach of the airlines. They are being very careful about designing these protocols. One positive thing to add is next year's reservations seem extremely good. And they are actually at the same levels or sometimes even better than 2019. And I have to say that some of it is, of course postponed demand in vouchers, but at least half of it is new reservations. So this basically goes to show you that there's a certain portion in the population that just love cruising, and we know that from before, and they want to do cruising as soon as it's open, it's out there, and they trust the cruise companies to take the necessary precautions and measures. So that's where we are in terms of preparations for the normalization of the market.
Just to add on Emre Bey, putting aside the Eurobond thing, this is also, I hope to turn this into an opportunity, because cruise line promised and signed a lot of to build terminals or piers or docks everywhere, and they walked out practically on every single one of them. And we've been approached by major ports, US mainland, whether we would like to replace the cruise lines. So that's an important factor for us. We, it seems like we're the only one in town, the only kid in town. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you.
Thank you. That now concludes the call. If you have any follow-up questions, then please drop me an email or give me a call and we will answer them for you. Thank you very much, everybody.